Hello, everybody. This is Luke Stamian. I'm your host of the Space Travel Podcast. I hope everyone's doing great this evening. I am going to start by saying we're going over a bunch of stuff today because there's been a lot developing in the space world, as we all know. And let's just see how far we can get through it. I am here today with my lovely wife, Amanda Stamian, also host of You're Freaking Me Out, the podcast. Go check it out if you haven't. She's maybe going to participate today. She's painting as we speak. So, anyway, let's continue on. I figured we would start with the new news about OneWeb. As we all know, OneWeb filed for bankruptcy last year on the 27th of March. Well, not quite last year, but you get what I'm saying.
Feels like it's been a year.
Yeah, it does feel like it's been a year. That's no lie. For those of you who don't know, OneWeb is a joint venture with Airbus Defense and Space, and they are essentially going to be doing the same thing that Starlink's doing. They're going to be bringing internet, you know, fast internet to all of us people who don't have it right now. Really, OneWeb in its prime and possibly is the only competition to Starlink out there. They're both achieving similar results doing different techniques. OneWeb wants to put a full constellation of 650 satellites in total, which is a lot lower number than that of SpaceX, which I'm not even going to try to quote the number because it's changed, to my knowledge, so many times. Starlink actually right now already has over 500 satellites in orbit, which is crazy because it feels like just yesterday they were launching the first Starlink launch. The altitude of the OneWeb satellites is going to be in a 1,200 kilometer low Earth orbit with a speed of 27,000 kilometers per hour and an orbital duration of 109 minutes. So it's a little bit different than the Starlink satellites, but like I said, achieving the same goal essentially. OneWeb already has 74 satellites in orbit, and the speculation right now as to why the UK government invested the $500 million to become shareholders in OneWeb is that just recently the UK lost access to the Galileo constellation, which could be a speculated reason as to why they invested in OneWeb to get some of those capabilities back. We're going to move on to talking about SpaceX. They've had a few scrubs in the past few days, which for us space nerds is always a bummer, but it happens, you know, hardware fails, weather doesn't cooperate, you know, whatever. Too many bananas on the launch pad. But yeah, anyway, they were going to launch two different launches. One was going to be with 57 Starlink satellites and two Black Sky satellites like they launched on the last launch, except for I believe last launch was 57 and 3, but I don't really know the reason for minus the one this go around. If you guys know it, hit me up on Twitter. Anyway, so yes, they scrubbed both the Starlink launch and I believe it's called the Anisys 2 mission due to weather and hardware failures. So now you're getting all that swapped out. Hopefully the weather will clear up and maybe we'll get to see a launch here in the next couple days. I heard some speculation about Monday we might see a launch, so look forward to that. I was on Twitter the other day and I got caught looking at this post and then I ended up following that trail, and it's a Twitter account called Neopork85, and if y'all haven't checked it out, they have some really awesome animations of the Starship payload bay with over 400 satellites inside of it. That's just wild compared to the already astounding 60 satellites that they've been doing in the Starlink launches recently until their rideshare program started. So check them out if you are not following them. They are once again at Neopork85. Moving on to NASA's Perseverance rover going to Mars. They are still targeting July 30th to fly the Perseverance rover on an Atlas V from Complex 41 in Florida. So, I mean, as everybody loves a good rover launch. I mean, the last one, Insight, I remember where I was and what I was doing while I was listening to it, and it was extremely exciting, you know. And then I remember, you know, this is all 7 minutes behind. So we're all sitting here looking at computer screens and looking at monitors, and it's probably already landed or crashed, one of the two. You never know. How are you supposed to know? You can't have a live feed from something descending on Mars because the lag is just too much. It's 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, yes, looking forward to that. Can't wait for Perseverance to go. I saw something. Cool online at NASA's website today. If you have kids, we have two, you can go on there and give them, like, sign up your kid's name to be put on, I believe it's just like a hard drive or something, and put on the next Mars mission in July of 2026. So that's pretty cool. If you have children, go check it out, or if you just want to have your name on the surface of Mars.
It even tells you where you're going.
That's right. It tells you the destination and all that. Pretty cool. So check that out on NASA's website. I believe there's a link on the homepage. We all know that Electron launched not too long ago, and I don't know about anybody else, but I love the Electron rocket. I think it's just all the excitement of a big rocket and a small rocket, because it does a big job and it's got a big market. So, I don't know. I really love watching them fly. I love the Rocket Labs team. I think they do great. I like their code of conduct, if you will, the way they do business and the way they act towards the public. I think that's really cool, and they keep us very invested in watching them fly their Electron rocket, which they're very proud of. For those of you who don't know, the Electron rocket is the only rocket in the world to be powered by an electric turbo pump. So it's an interesting tidbit from that. But Pixar Didn't Happen was the name of the mission, and everything was looking good. I mean, it flew up out of the atmosphere, second stage separated, and right after the second stage separated, and we're looking at that beautiful view of the second stage engine lit up, you know, glowing hot, flying with the Earth in the background, the feed just freezes. Well, at first, you would look at it and go, it's frozen, you know? But if you look up in the top right corner at the altitude and speed controls, they're still going. And right after the video froze, we started seeing some speed reduction and then some altitude reduction. So it ended up coming back into the Earth's atmosphere and lost the payloads. Peter Beck. He released a video on the internet apologizing to the customers for losing the payloads. And, you know, as I watched it, I just felt bad for him, not in like a bad way, but you know, that sucks, losing a rocket, and I think it was three different satellites on board, you know, so I guess that's what insurance is for. But anyway, and then Rocket Lab ended up coming out and doing their own apology as well, which, I mean, is fitting if you ask me. Today, the Dragon capsule got a few more tests run on it. Four of the five crew on the International Space Station did an hour-long test of the habitability of the Dragon capsule. So the habitability of it with four crew instead of two. Supposedly it went good. There was no other news after that. So I'm going to say that pretty much what they did is they all put on their dope spacesuits and got in the Dragon.
And sat there.
For an hour.
That seems horrible.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do for science.
I get it, but that seems cramped.
Well, it definitely is, even though the Dragon capsule, you know, it's larger than ones in the past.
All in the name of
science. I have wrote down here some notes for this launch, but it's honestly changed so much now. This is the SpaceX launch that I'm talking about. I don't even really want to speculate. Hopefully soon, is what I'm gonna say. I'd really like to see it fly soon. It's been a while, it feels, since we've seen a good rocket launch.
Natalie was asking about one.
Oh, yeah. That's what we do here in our house. We watch rocket launches like they're football games. It's fun.
If you walked into the house and there was a football game on and it wasn't the Super Bowl, you should be concerned.
That's true. We really don't watch any football in this house. July 14th is the launch of the Falcon 9 that is carrying the Anisys 2, and it is launching from Slick 40 in Florida. This booster that's launching, it actually just got done launching Bob and Doug to the International Space Station on the Demo 2 mission, so this is the second flight of that booster, and I hope it flies good, because I have a feeling that this flight, the second flight of this booster, is a proof test of some kind to NASA that they can fly astronauts on the same booster twice. Mm-hmm. So I hope it goes well. We'll see. If you haven't checked them out, it's Astro at Astro Bankin and at Astro Doug on Twitter. They do post some awesome views of Earth from the International Space Station. So big thank you to Bob and Doug for sharing that with all of us. We
Bankin tomorrow. Bob Bankin is doing live answering questions.
That would be cool.
On Twitter.
Well, I wonder, we'll have to get on and figure out what time he's doing that. It'd be real neat. I mean, I've obviously got a lot of questions. All right. Now that we've got all the current news for the active space stuff out of the way, I'm not going to say that these people are not active, because they might be the most active in the space industry right now. We're going to move on to Starship. As everyone knows, there's been some amazing, amazing progress at Boca Chica, just developing production and developing Starship parts, and it's just moving along super fast. We can hardly keep up. And I just want to say thank you to the entire Boca Chica team. That's including people building the Starship and people like Miss Mary and all them who are out there taking pictures and keeping us all in the loop. I really appreciate y'all. And if you haven't checked them on Twitter, there are also some good accounts to follow. There's been a lot of progress on the walls that are being built near the launch pad. I'm not 100% on what these walls will be for, but they are once again proving that SpaceX has some of the fastest workers ever. Also, there's been some new arrivals that have showed up at Boca Chica in the form of some big new fuel tanks for the launch pad. So I'm going to say that they're just constantly improving their fuel storage capabilities there. And that's what these tanks are going to be for. Or, I don't know, maybe just to make another stand so they can test some super heavy boosters.
That'd be cool to see.
Right? Because they are also having a crap ton of progress at the production facility on the new high bay for the super heavy.
There's been a lot of talk about a hop.
Yes, that is also coming up. Hopefully. I heard through the grapevine that maybe as early as next Thursday. And they were saying maybe Monday for a static fire of Raptor SN27, the new Raptor that was installed in the bottom of Starship. So hopefully we'll see that. I mean, I'm starting to believe some of their timelines. You know, before it was like, okay, all right, we'll see you in a month, you know. But now, I don't know. They're really moving things along. Also, I mean, you know I'm a big fan. So not too long ago, NASA space flight or someone of that caliber spotted Boston Dynamics Zeus and his handler. They were out. Looked like they were testing Zeus's capabilities.
Is that what they named him?
Yeah, Zeus.
Zeus.
Yeah, they took the robot named Spot and named him Zeus. Yeah.
But is it exactly?
Yeah, no, it is. Well, he's got a camera on him. Like, the Spot robot has, like, a rail system, kind of like a gun does, to where you can slide a scope on it. And you can slide different attachments, like arms and cameras. And he's got a camera attachment to the front of it. He's for...
So they can do damage.
Yeah. Well, what it is like this SN7 proto tank they just built out of the new 304L at Stainless. Whenever it popped a hole and exploded, he just ran right up. You know, and took video and whatever. There's no telling what kind of cameras he's got. It could be thermal.
There's no telling what kind of temperatures it can withstand.
A lot more than that.
Maybe we should send one to Mars.
That would be awesome. I don't know if the remote would work that far. Because I think you can use your iPhone to control them. Or no, it's an Android device. I'm sorry.
Just give someone on the ISS one.
Hey, we're going to test it out. I like Spot. A lot of people say that he looks unnatural and it's just weird to watch him move. But I think they move with such, like, focus and precision that it's fascinating to watch.
If it moved more like a real dog, that would freak me out.
Now, if you think that the Spot one freaks you out, why don't you go check out the other model that's got... It kind of stands like a goat almost, and it's got wheels on its bottom feet, and it can like jump and do all... I've seen that one.
That one does weird.
He moves like those kids on the hoverboards. Except for, like, extremely agile with, like, independent suspension.
I don't like the one that can, like, just pop back up when you kick it over.
They all do that.
No, because we watched someone...
I'm pretty sure they all get back up.
But the one that I'm talking about is pretty quick about it. Like, you kick it over and it's just like... Bing, bing.
Oh, yeah. Now, Boston Dynamics does some awesome stuff as far as robots go. I mean, I'm completely blown away. It seems like 1 second there was no Boston Dynamics, and then all of a sudden, boom, we've got these advanced robots that can do crazy stuff.
The movie that we were watching, Patriots Day, Boston Dynamics was featured in that film.
Really?
Yes.
They got a robot in there or something?
Well, yeah, the Boston Marathon, of course. They're going to have Boston Dynamics because it was around them that they were getting a lot of progress creating these things.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to watch it. I think you'll like it.
I think so too. Anyway, big fan of Boston Dynamics and everything that they're doing, even though it kind of freaks some people out. They did add a mass simulator to the top of Starship today. You know, we saw a mass simulator last time, but we saw more of a mass
slew
ejector. Yeah, well, here's the thing about watching the first mass simulator fly, is the mass simulator is approximately 22 tons.
That's...
If that tells you how energetic that last Starship explosion was.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Oh, dude, it launched that 22 tons. I mean...
Like, it was nothing.
Oh, way up there. It took a couple seconds for it to start coming down. That was just impressive. I mean, everybody needs to go check out the rerun video of that particular explosion of the SN4 tank.
It breaks your heart a little bit when you see it.
Dude, I was watching it live, and the NASA spaceflight guys were commenting.
For so long.
Oh, man, I know. But now that you look, if you go back and look at that video, and you look at SN4, and you just kind of look at all the welds and all the equipment and everything, and then now you go and look at the picture of SN5 and SN6 standing side by side in the mid bay.
Well, practice makes perfect.
Oh, gosh. And that friction stir weld makes such a beautiful weld.
It has to be perfect.
Well, I mean, Elon is the one behind it, so yeah, it has to be perfect.
Well, no. If they're wanting to launch anyone from humanity, it has to be perfect.
That's true. But, I mean, I think that Elon is more concerned with quick than perfect. I think he just wants everything to move quickly rather than perfectly. Because the thing that he's been heard saying multiple times is failure is an option. And he also has been heard to say that if something is not working, it's wrong. And you need to go back and not be afraid to take out parts and take out processes to get things moving along.
Well, that's why there's so many tests.
Yeah. Oh, rapid iteration prototyping. And it has been used for a long time. And it's proven very good.
You know, some would call it insanity.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. But the thing about it is if you take a month and you build a Starship or a year or whatever, and you go and you start testing it and you start doing stuff and it blows up, so what?
Make
build
a new
another
one.
You know? It's just
evaluate,
another thing.
Redesign,
like, rebuild,
redesign,
and go.
Rebuild, and it's circle of life for spaceships.
Yeah, it's what they're doing right now, except for they're kind of a little bit ahead of that because they've got SN5 out on the stand testing, SN6 in the mid bay and SN7 on the getting stacked. So what they'll do is, as SN5 is testing and they find failures and weak points and stuff, they'll go ahead and change it on the next prototype.
That's a smart way to do it.
Yeah.
And stay in one step ahead. And you get further progress a lot faster.
It's genius.
I think the scale of SN Starship in general helps with that because it takes a long time to build one.
Well, yeah.
In retrospect.
Oh, dude, they're 30 meters. Or I'm sorry, 30 meters. They're 30 feet in diameter.
Jeez.
And so it's like 9 meters in diameter. And they are, oh goodness, 100 and something feet tall. They're huge.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could lay it on its side and then open a door to go inside of it, it would be a cavernous space. I mean, it would be large.
It's like the TARDIS.
You know how much I would love to go venturing inside of a starship laying down? It would be so much fun.
It'd be like walking through one of those like missile things.
A silo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool too.
How did I'm from Kansas and I didn't know the word silo?
Hey, there's a lot of silos in Kansas.
Yes, there
is. They seem to think that it was a good place to store ordnance back in the day. Even though I think that's the last place ordnance would hit. Wait, that might be why they put it there. Clever. You know,
silos are very explosive.
Well, what I'm saying is, if I'm another place, I'm not going to bomb Kansas. I'm going to bomb New York or something like that.
Well,
I'm not going to edit this out.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But like, so if you store all your stuff in New York and that's where it gets hit, then you lost all your stuff and you got hit.
Well, yeah.
If you store it in Kansas and New York gets hit, then you have the chance to be,
Exhibit
go
A,
back.
9/11.
Yeah, we won't even go anywhere near that.
No, but it's just a good
example. Yeah, it's a great example.
A great but horrendous example.
Yes, absolutely horrendous. I'm pretty sure everybody understands that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really, haven't heard of much anything else that's gone on that we haven't discussed this evening. Do you hear anything, Amanda, that you think needs discussed?
I already told you. I've been out of connect with Twitter for a little bit.
Hey, that's not all bad. Sometimes you need a break. Hey, Elon just took one. He said off Twitter for a while.
It took a couple days.
I don't blame
you. I'm quiet.
I literally haven't been on Facebook in a week.
I think I've been on Facebook talking to my mom.
Hey. Busy and other stuff. Kids,
Yeah, that's no joke.
On a last thought, July 13th, 14th, and 15th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. were the road closures for testing of the Starship. The primary date being the 13th, which is today. So, since I probably haven't seen any news of Starship testing, I'm going to say we can look forward to one of the other two secondary dates. So check that out. As always, hit me up on Twitter at LukeStamey20. You can go to the podcast Twitter at Space Travel Pod and leave comments, anything, all that good stuff. Just love to hear from you. Also, if you would please rate the podcast, write a review. If you want to support the podcast, you can go to the Anchor website and type in Space Travel, and there's a support button on the page itself. But other than that, my name is Luke Stamey.
I'm Amanda.
And this is the Space Travel Podcast, signing off. Hello, everybody. Once again, I'm Luke Stamey, the host of Space Travel Podcast, accompanied with my beautiful wife, Amanda. I just wanted to add this little tidbit onto the episode because I realized some of the things that we talked about last night were supposed to happen today or had already happened, so I just wanted to throw some clarifications in with the rest of this information. The SpaceX Falcon 9 launch that SpaceX stood down from on Saturday 11th, the new target date is in the works. They'll tell us as soon as they've cleared it by the range. And another little interesting tidbit about a new launch that's coming up tomorrow morning. there's a 90% chance of good weather for the launch of the NRO's rocket, the Minotaur 4. It has a payload of 4 satellites aboard, and the window's opening at 9 a.m. or 1300 Georgia Mountain Time. So check that out tomorrow morning. It should be pretty cool to watch. Spaceflightnow.com has the details on that launch. You can go check them out there. SpaceX's launch of the Falcon 9 carrying the South Korean military satellite, Anisys 2. That was also the booster that carried Doug and Bob up to the International Space Station on the Demo 2 mission. SpaceX has said that they might postpone the launch until Sunday the 19th at 5 p.m. or 2100 Georgia Mountain Time. The booster has been static fired. And moving on, so SpaceX also postponed the Starlink 9 mission with 57 Starlink and 2 Black Sky satellites. It was to take off. I believe that's the one that we are still awaiting clarification on the launch date and time. SpaceX does have 2 missions scheduled to launch later in July. Number one is the SATCOM-1B mission, and it's going to launch hopefully on July 25th. The second will be another Starlink mission flying in tandem with 3 Earth imaging satellites from Planet around the end of July. So you guys can look forward to that as well. And another little interesting thing that I saw on the internet today was that Elon Musk has passed Warren Buffett for the 7th richest man in the world. And this is what old Elon had to say about it. "Well, I do care very much about the sustainability of civilization, but there is some truth to the ironic part." So I'm going to say there's some kind of inside joke there that I'm not privy to.
He was talking about how he came to create Tesla, and it was because he drove an old sports car and had a love for it, but realized how unconventional it was. And that is how Tesla began.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. But yeah, I thought that stuff just needed to be tagged along to this episode. I hope you guys kind of enjoy the new format of the podcast with my wife here chatting back and forth. I find it rather entertaining. I hope the same for y'all. As always, you guys can hit the podcast up at 8 at Space Travel Pod on Twitter, or you can hit us up at spacetravelpodcast@aol.com with any kind of tips, advice, criticism, anything like that. We'd love to hear from you. Other than that, I really appreciate everyone listening. This is Luke Stamey
and Amanda
with the Space Travel Podcast, signing off.